Once upon a time, there was the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The very best Medicare podcast in the whole wide world. He's still fighting the war of northern aggression, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hey there, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We're so happy to have you here. Okay, stop the applause. I hope the applause has stopped. It's a little embarrassing to have a huge crowd of people applauding me when I haven't even said anything worthwhile yet. This is Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for today, and you have joined the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We are so happy to have you. We are recording today, episode number 47. And it is April 23rd of 2020. So once again, thank you very much for joining us. And thanks to Drew McMillan, announcer par excellence, for opening this episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Now, at some point, you're going to wonder who this lazy man is that we podcast to, and that's going to be a person who has to learn about Medicare but doesn't really want to. They'd rather take a nap. They'd rather have the information that they eventually will need spoon-fed to them. So our job is to spoon-feed that information to all the lazy people out there. So with that said, I want to introduce a man who never needs any spoon-feeding, Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
Doug, how are you doing up there in the high altitudes of Cave Creek today?
Well, considering we're sneaking up on 100 degrees, I think we're doing pretty darn well. By the time this episode airs, it will have been over 100 regularly every day.
That's well, my kind of a nice, cool spring day for Arizona. It's 91 degrees with 15% humidity.
Yeah, it's that humidity that makes it a dry heat, which is what we've all been instructed to say.
Yes. You know, you have, when you cross the state line and you attempt to buy property in Arizona, you remember that disclosure you had to sign that said, you must, every time you talk to someone from out of state, you must say, and they say, oh my God, I couldn't come to Arizona because it's too hot. Then you have to say what?
You have to say, but it's a dry heat.
That's right.
The problem is, I think we ought to stop saying that because people are flocking here in droves and it's getting a little on the crowded side. I'd rather have a little more elbow room.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I've heard, now this was 20 years ago when I bought my house out here. I was talking to our illustrious real estate agent and she said that over the course of years that all of us Easterners, not me, but they would come out here and they would plant shrubbery, grass, all the crap that you would expect to have in your yard out east and water it prodigiously. Now, at that point in time, it was actually beginning to raise the humidity.
I think the humidity was raised and also there was a lot of pollen introduced that had never been in the atmosphere, you know, during seasonal allergy time for people. It became more of a problem and less of a refuge for people with lung problems like tuberculosis and stuff. It used to be that doctors all over the country would send people to Arizona. In fact, there's a big tourist trap type place. I wouldn't call it a trap. It's interesting. Called the Mystery Castle down at South Mountain. Have you ever been down there to see the Mystery Castle?
I have. It's pretty freaking cool.
It is pretty cool, but that was built by a guy who was exiled from his home in Washington State because he had tuberculosis, I think. And he was an architect, so he just came home from the doctor's office, packed his stuff, and left. And his wife and daughter got home from wherever they were, and, you know, where's Dad? And they never knew. And decades later, some lawyer contacted him and said, well, your husband and father moved to Arizona and on doctor's orders and built a house down there, and you now own that house. And so the daughter came here to look at the house with an eye towards selling it and decided to stay, and she ran it as a tourist destination for decades until she finally died a few years ago. I met her a couple of times. But the guy just, you know, walked away from his life came to Arizona when there was almost nobody here and started a new life. And he built this house, and that was his job for decades. Apparently the TB didn't kill him. It was just hard work that must have killed him. But he built this house out of stone and local materials and excess materials from the freight yard, you know, to get a boxcar load of something in that nobody wanted. He would buy it, cut rate, and make windows in his house out of plastic freezer containers and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. Go see the Mystery Castle if you ever come to Arizona and find yourself with a little free time on your... What started that thought? Was it the dry heat? It was the dry heat.
Dry heat, yes.
Well, now they're...
We went off on that tangent with the dry heat.
Well, now the place is full of people. When I used to come here, the areas that were rural are now full of skyscrapers and stuff. And I guess the lesson here is don't live to be as old as I am if you don't want to see change occurring. But Arizona is attracting tons and tons and tons of people. Part of the reason is that dry heat thing, because it's true. On a hot day in Arizona, you're less uncomfortable than you're going to be on a hot day in Illinois or many, many other places.
And you know how to tell somebody's from Arizona?
How?
They will park and walk 5 miles if they can see a tree.
Well, is that because they want to lift their leg on the tree, or
they're thinking they're going to get some shade?
Oh, I see.
And then the other thing I was told when I first moved out here that I thought, seriously, that can't be true. Carrying oven mitts in your car.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about this and I learned something from you. I thought, why would you carry the oven mitts to the store or to the office, wherever you're going? And it's because of the door handle. I thought it was a steering wheel, but it was the door handles.
Ed, I have fried my fingerprints on. I don't know if you remember, my Jeep has black painted door handles.
Well, it obviously wasn't sold in Arizona, was it?
No. And it also, you know, it will attract heat. I swear this thing is probably, you know, in the midsummer, probably 3,000 degrees on that door handle. Mm-hmm. I have fried my fingerprints onto that thing several times.
Just so we don't have another hang, Chad, we started talking about the newcomers to Arizona bringing their favorite plants from up north or back east and planting them here. And, you know, they water the crap out of them and the plants do well and then spew pollen, unusual things into the air. Well, in some of the older, more high-end areas of Phoenix and, to a lesser extent, Scottsdale, the people who built houses, and my grandparents had a house in the 60s in an area called Arcadia. It's right along Camelback Road. And in that whole area, the city of Phoenix, the lawns were built with a berm around the outside, probably a foot tall, and then the city would send a guy over every 2 weeks to flood the lawn. So they have green, grassy lawns around these mid-century modern houses. And that was the way they expected to live life forever and ever and ever. And it was only years later that that became verboten, and it had to be desert landscape with rocks and sand and cactuses and non-water-using plants for the most. So if you drive through Arcadia, you will see nothing but green grass, just like you're in some suburb of Cincinnati or someplace.
They still have flood irrigation down there?
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Oh, guess, my gosh.
I guess you're grandfathered in once you have it. They don't take it
that,
away from you.
That is really something to see. I mean, obviously, I came from the Midwest, and we had irrigation, but it was all center pivot. We didn't have any flood irrigation.
Well, in this case, I remember driving through Nebraska and seeing crops with the irrigation equipment out in the middle of huge fields. So I assume Nebraska was drier than Illinois, where you just don't see that for the most part.
Yeah, it was all center pivot, though. And,
right.
And the other thing that you hear now that we have this like mental process, so we just go from one topic to another related topic. There's an aquifer underneath Nebraska that you may
I know the about. Name. I know the name. I know the name.
And what is that?
Oglala.
Oglala Aquifer. It is the largest underground aquifer in the world, and that's where all that center pivot water comes out of, is the Oglala Aquifer.
That goes all the way down into Texas. There are parts of the Texas panhandle that have that aquifer underneath. So they irrigate also to the extent that they feel like it. Generally, you know, they're growing livestock in Texas too. So they're growing feed for the livestock.
So where did the name Ogallala come from?
Well, that was the Ogallala Sioux.
The Ogallala Sioux, you got it.
I've been through Ogallala, Nebraska, and which is not too far from North Platte, Nebraska, where I believe the Union Pacific has the world's largest railroad classification yard, and you can take a tour. You can learn all about railroad.
The world's largest Union Pacific switch yard. So it's an amazing place. You don't want to lose your attention span because you may end up being roadkill.
Those things don't stop on a dime, do they?
No, they don't. Jeez. They can hit the brakes with the whole train, and it will still slide for 3.5 miles.
Someday I'm going to ask you why we have locomotives, railroad locomotives, with right-hand drive when all of our cars and trucks are left-hand drive in the United States. Someday I'll ask you that question.
Okay, well, let's leave that as a future fun fact for the day.
All righty, and let's get down to business here.
We need to talk about what can Medicare coverage do for us as related to assisted living for those of us who may have to go there.
Yes, and frankly, the answer is nothing. Okay, so that's it for today.
Well, that was it. I could have handled that one, Doug.
I didn't even have to show up today if I had known you'd be willing to do that.
What can that do for you? Not anything. Well,
knowing that it would have to be fleshed out a little bit, I found an article that I could actually quote from. So anything I say that you don't like, be aware that I'm just quoting somebody else. But basically, assisted living and memory care facilities, do they accept Medicare or Medicaid? And the short answer is no, they don't accept Medicare. We're here for Medicare. We're not Medicaid experts. As you'll recall from a few episodes ago, Medicaid is like welfare. It's insurance, medical insurance for people who are indigent, who don't have any income or assets to speak of. But our purpose here is to talk about Medicare. And those people who are covered by Medicare are, the question posed is, do assisted living facilities or memory care facilities, can you pay your bills if you go live in places like that? Will Medicare help out with your bills? And the answer is no. Medicare has a nursing home component, but it's Part A of Medicare when you're an inpatient someplace, but it's for the necessary treatment of disease or injury, and they will pay for some stay in a nursing home or a recovery facility until, you know, as long as there's progress being made, but they will not pay for what they call custodial care. In other words, if you need nursing home care because you can't tie your shoes, or you can't go to the bathroom by yourself, or you can't remember which room is yours, you will not benefit by being covered by Medicare, because that's custodial in nature. So then the question becomes, how does one expect to pay those bills? Well, hopefully one has saved money. In that eventuality, you might need to rely on your own savings or the savings of your family members who don't want you hanging around the house or walking out in the street and getting lost. But typically that's going to be a family expense. Now, what if the family doesn't have any money? Well, then we're back to Medicaid. Once again, Medicaid is for people who don't have any income or assets. It's welfare. It's a method of having medical treatment paid for by the state in which you live. And because it's paid for by the state, it's different in every state. Some states are more generous with their Medicaid benefits and others are not. In California, for instance, it's called Medi-Cal, but the thing is the same. In Arizona, it's called Access, A-C-C-H, SS or something like that, but it's Medicaid. It's a form of welfare in which the federal government gives the state a bunch of money and the state operates a Medicaid, a health insurance plan for citizens of that state who are indigent or who are unable to pay their own medical bills. And those people are the ones who are likely to pay for things like custodial care in a nursing facility if you need to be taking up residence in a memory care facility or a long-term nursing facility. That's where you're going to find your help if you are destitute. So in a nutshell, Medicare itself is for necessary medical treatment and recovery of injury or illness. But once it turns into custodial care, then Medicare is not going to help you out with those bills. It's going to be your family, you, maybe long-term care insurance that you bought long ago, or we're back to Medicaid, the welfare health insurance program. So that's the short and the very long answer. The short answer is no. The long answer is what you just heard.
No.
Yeah. Yep. And frankly, I've got to tell you, I'm not trying to be crass and crude and unsympathetic to people who need that. God knows, my beloved grandmother got Alzheimer's. And how did we know that she had Alzheimer's? Well, it started gradually. I came out after being married. My wife and I drove our 65 Corvette out to Scottsdale to visit my grandmother, and we discovered that she was hoarding toilet paper. So
she was just planning ahead.
Yeah, well, she had no way of knowing this all was going to happen, but this is like 50 years ago. She was hoarding toilet paper, and that was our first clue. So I'm not being hard-hearted or saying, this is, yuck it up because people that go nutty. Obviously, it's a huge family problem for a lot of people, and it's not just the money, but money is a big part of it. How can we best take care of our relatives? And I'm telling you now that if Medicare paid for the care, the custodial care of the people that have Alzheimer's, dementia, or other needs, if Medicare itself paid for that, then none of us would be able to afford Medicare. The demand for the money that Medicare would have to provide for those services would be so high that Medicare would become even more of a burden than it is on the economy today. So it's just one of these things, just like dental and vision. Let's applaud the wisdom of those who don't give away the farm with a federal program, because once it grows into an unwieldy, out of control drag on the economy, it never goes back. We can never take it away. There's so much screaming and yelling when we try to eliminate unnecessary federal programs that they never, ever go away. So rather than another burden, the individual families are left to deal with it. It's not always pretty, but it's better than the alternative. So enough of that. I bet you're going to tell me we should open the mailbag.
I think we need to do some mailbag here.
Oh, see, I was
hoping. We have been holding that up as a possibility for several podcasts now, and we seem to keep finding ways to avoid the mailbag. So
did you get accosted again?
Reach into that leather pouch of yours down at the bottom and get us a mailbagger.
Well, I've got a couple of things from down at the bottom. I had to wear my leather gloves because I think there are things living down there. They're biting me when I stick my hand in them.
Do they bite, though?
Well, yeah. I think they're nibbling.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know if it's because they like me and they're happy to see me or because they're hungry. But that bottom of that bag hasn't been seen in quite some time, and I probably should do a little house cleaning. But what we have here is an item from David Everett. And he is a podcast listener. He wrote this to me. He first wrote to me a few months ago in March, I guess, before the podcast was really that widespread. And then he wrote to me again today. So his original question was, fairly lengthy about his age and his retirement age and his wife's retirement age and a lot of stuff. And I answered that. And he's in Ohio, he said. So I responded to his questions by saying that his plan to get Medicare Part A while he continues working was the right thing to do, because Medicare Part A is free of charge if you've got 40 hours or 40 quarters of taxable income under your belt. If you've worked for 10 years in the United States and the IRS knows it, then you have earned Medicare Part A for life. And you might as well sign up for Medicare Part A when you turn 65, because then you're on the books. They know who you are. And when you decide to enroll in Part B, which is the outpatient doctor's visits and all that, then it'll be a piece of cake, because they'll already have your records for having signed up for Part A. I ignored one reason, the only reason I know of not to enroll in Part A when you turn 65. And Mr. Everett didn't share this with me, and I could have made my answer longer and even more ponderous, but I didn't do it because I didn't want to bore Mr. Everett. He's, you know, what a nice guy to write in and ask. So he wrote me again today, and he's going to get a response from me via email. But basically, he said, I forgot to tell you. I called the Medicare hotline, and I was told that I'm going to have big trouble because my wife has an HSA plan through her employer, a health savings account. Is he right? And by the way, and Randy, you'll enjoy this. He said, please let me know. Let's see. Please let me know the answer. I'm catching up on your podcasts. I'm at 20 currently. Oh, boys, you got a whole bunch more to go. It is as good as your book. Take that as you wish. And he grinned with a big grin. I'm thinking that's good. What do you think, Randy? You think that's probably a positive?
I think this gentleman has a sense of humor about him. And I think that was him saying, I like your stuff. I like your book. And I enjoy listening to your podcast. So I'm going to binge listen to this until I'm caught up.
Okay, or till his ears start bleeding and he dies. But the whole thing is, Mr. Everett, if you're listening, you will have read my email answer, but in a nutshell, yes, if your wife or you have an HSA provided by your employer, or even not, you know, if you bought it, you cannot continue to deduct the contributions to your HSA if you own any part of Medicare. So that's the one reason not to get Medicare Part A. It's free of charge. Seems like a no-brainer, but basically it will mess with your HSA deductibility. So I should have said, don't do it. And I didn't know you had an HSA. I should have asked. I should have been more thorough. I apologize. Mr. Everett, thank you very much for writing and allowing me to clarify it. And then I had two emails, actually, from people, both with the same kind of question. And it's real quick and easy to deal with these because they are, I'm getting, knocking off two birds with the same stone. And if I could just get my paper clip, it's pretty hard when you lose a wrestling match to a paper clip. Kind of tells you your life maybe should have been spent in the gym instead of carousing. But basically, we have a woman here who writes that her mother is 88 and is a U.S. citizen, but has lived most of her life in Mexico. She only worked in the U.S. for less than a year. We're thinking about asking her to move with us in the U.S., but we're not certain how she'll qualify for Medicare. Who can we talk to, or how can we find out if she's entitled to Medicare? The other question was from Jaime de la Garza. He says, I purchased and read your book yesterday. What a guy. I recently migrated to the U.S. and became a permanent resident. I have questions related to turning 65 and being a U.S. citizen yet. Questions related to turning 65 and not being a citizen yet. And I have not been able to complete the 40 Social Security credits by the time I turn 65. Is this something I can consult with you about? I'm happy to pay a consulting fee. I love this guy. If not, who would you suggest? My answer to both of these people was basically the same. I am not an expert on immigration law, and I'm not really knowledgeable on what your immigration status is and how it would affect your relationship with the Social Security Administration, which administers Medicare. So both of these people, I referred to the same place. I said, you might start by calling the Medicare helpline, and that is 800-633-4227. That's otherwise known as 800-MEDICARE. So 800-633-4227 if you want to talk to somebody on the phone. You can go to the Medicare website at www.medicare.gov. Not .com, because that's going to be a private company that's going to try to sell you a hated Medicare Advantage, but medicare.gov. If you want to do some in-depth research on your own, you might download a copy of Medicare and You 2020 from my website, which Randy and his crack staff have designed for me. Our website is medicareforthelazyman.com. And under the menu selection, Light Reading, you're going to find a copy of Medicare and You 2020. You can click on that and download it right to your device for more in-depth research. But in a nutshell, I'm not qualified, and a lot of regular sales agents are not qualified to offer advice to immigrants to the company or country. But we want to make sure you get the right advice. So I would say go straight to the horse's mouth, which is the U.S. government. So how's that for knocking off a few mailbag items?
I love them. And people in the audience love the mailbaggers too, because everybody's got a question, and 9 times out of 10, if one person has a question, several more have that question. And unfortunately, some people are just not the type to write in. You know, it's like, they won't raise their hand in class either, but, you know, somebody else will answer ask the same question and get an answer.
There used to be a theory. Do I hear a dog hyperventilating on your end?
He actually smokes too much.
Oh, boy. Is there such a thing as too much smoking? God, I wish I could smoke again. I would love to be a smoker.
No, you're talking to a chain smoker too. So, I gave this up years ago, but I told my wife one day, I said, don't ever kid yourself. I may not be smoking as we speak, but I am a smoker.
Well, I've got a pact with a friend of mine. When we turn 90, we're going back to smoking. So I've saved many cartons of cigarettes in my freezers, and I'm prepared when 90 comes around. And then I realized an interesting thing. He's actually a year younger than me. So when he turns 90, I'm going to be 91. So I may have to revise that agreement that we have. In any event, it's probably time to thank the audience for joining us and get out of their hair for another day, huh?
I believe we should, I think we've run the time out on the clock. We need to thank everybody for joining us. I really appreciate your short, concise answer to what Medicare can do for assisted living. No.
If I could make it fewer letters, I would. If I could find a shorter word.
I always enjoy that. Short, concise, to the point. That is Mr. Jones.
Well, our goal here is to simplify Medicare. It's a lengthy, complicated process that people are afraid of. And I don't want them to be afraid. It can be boiled down to very simple terms. And that's what I do in my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's very concise guide that will, I think, serve most Medicare eligibles in good stead. And I suggest buying it at Amazon. You can get it in ebook, paperback, or Audible book. That's our newest development. We have an Audible book version of our Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. So go there or go to Barnes & Noble for a paperback version.
Just a couple wrap-it-up thoughts, Doug. No one is going to know this unless we share it with them. But you guys that are following us on this podcast series obviously have good taste, and you are thinking into the future, because we have now an international audience. Why? I don't think they're interested in Medicare. I think they're interested in Doug Jones and his great sense of humor.
Well, what countries are these audience members in?
Well, we've got some Mexico listeners.
Okay.
We've got some listeners from Czechoslovakia. We've got some all over, really. And it's an amazing thing because, well, you know, you said maybe it's, you know, maybe there are people just living there from the States, expats. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you something. Every piece of mail I get from any company, any insurance company that I've got coverage, Medicare coverage with, includes a page of verbiage in about 25 different languages. So I'm going to take that page out the next time I get some. I'm going to show it to you and learn how to say hola in Mexican or in Spanish. I'm going to learn how to say hello in Czechoslovakian. And I'm going to learn how to say, how to greet our listeners in their native tongues.
There you go. And we'll do a different language every podcast.
And that will be educational as well as the Medicare yes. knowledge that we sometimes impart.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
Boy. Well, goal for the future.
And there's one other thing I wanted to mention to our audience. We are now on the radio in Phoenix, Arizona. We have some spots going, drive time spots in the morning and the afternoon. And I would really like you guys to find them on the radio dial and listen to them.
1100 KFNX. And we're running these spots to let people know that there is an easier way to deal with Medicare. That would be to buy the book, listen to the podcast, and tell your friends, because we think this is valuable service that we provide for people. We hope it is, anyway.
Sometime we'll talk about how the radio call letters got assigned, you know, being this is a KFNX and, you know, there's a WOW in Omaha, and, you know, all those, there's a rhyme to that reason in terms of how they got assigned, but we'll save that for another hanging chad.
I've got a few I can contribute also. So you just let me know when we add that to the podcast notes and we'll do it.
You betcha. So anyway, thanks everybody for joining us. As always, we know you could have been someplace else, but right now you need to put your tray table up into its upright and locked position and store your laptops under your chair. So
do we have to extinguish our smoking material?
That's right. We do. We do. We absolutely do. There's probably not a lot of us other than you and me that ever smoked on an aircraft, but I can remember doing that vividly.
They used to pass out cigarettes with the meals.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I get it. I totally remember. But you guys, on the other hand, have just spent about 33 and a half minutes sharing coffee, metaphorically speaking, with the anti-insurance insurance guy, Doug Jones, with Medicare for the LazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.